me to chapter 20 of Book of Revelation. And finally, we are about to end, but we have three more chapters to go. Let's see what God is going to speak to us. Chapter 20 of Book of Revelation, and we will start. It is obvious that God wins. No matter what you think, and no matter what the devil tells you to think, God wins. And he will be bound for 1,000 years. This morning's title is the millennium. That's why he called it millennium. See, however, this book, this particular chapter is rather difficult because there's a lot of confusion going on. So it is very important for you to pay attention. And besides, I'm going to use terms very difficult for me to pronounce. So you're going to make a big laugh out of that. That's fine. You laugh at my English anyway. And you will have a lot of effort to understand this portion because there's a lot of things that we have to understand before we understand the complete chapter of this particular study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are asking you your wisdom to be upon us that we may understand your word and so that we won't be confused. Your word said, anyone lacking in wisdom, simply come. And we are asking your wisdom. Not only that this be just the wisdom of Bible knowledge, but let it be the true meat and bone in our spiritual body. We may do what you want us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 20 of Book of Revelation. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. He lay hold of the dragon and the serpent of old, who is the devil and the Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Underline 1,000 years, please. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Satan is bound not by God, not by Michael the Archangel, nor the host of angels, but one lone, unnamed angel coming down. And he doesn't even use both hands. He uses one hand holding the other one with a chain, like a mom taking care of the kid with one hand and doing dishes and all of that. By the way, mom can do about five things or six things. Is it five or six? And the guys can do one thing. We are concentrated people. We can either chew the gum or walk in one or another. What we don't see here in between the verse 2 and 3 is a command, order from God. And God is telling this particular angel, he says, book them, Daniel, murder one. Some of you guys know that meaning, right? Hawaii Five-O, if you know what that means, you're old as me. When we see the Satan from this heavenly perspective, he's no big deal. He's not important. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 14, that is right before Jeremiah. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, we thumb through the Bible a lot. So get used to it, please. 14:16. It says, those who see you will gauge you, which is Satan, consider you, saying, is this a man who made earth tremble and who shook kingdoms? It's like your little thing. No big deal. It's a little thing that we can ignore. However, we make the devil more credit than he deserves. Satan tried to imprison Jesus, and he tried to put the seal of Roman government. He couldn't. However, God didn't have a problem putting him in this bottomless pit and put the seal on him for 1,000 years. This brings another thing. How many of you guys know that some of the charismatic church says, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus? How many of you guys heard that? How many of you guys tried that and didn't make help? Didn't make any difference? No. Why? If that's the case, personal binding of the Satan is true and biblical, Satan couldn't do anything for less, how many years? 6,000 years. However, we find that there's no biblical base for that comment. Binding this portion is done by who? Through God. Through angel by command of God. There's only one person who can bind Satan without any problem. That's not an angel. That's not us. That's not some charismatic church leader. That's only Jesus and God himself. Amen. We get confused about this kind of thing because, well, other church people do it, so I will do it too. Be careful. If it's not in the Bible, don't do it, please. Bottomless pit mentioned here is known as abyss. It's not a hell, the old known as lake of fire. At this point, God is putting the Satan in the bottomless pit known as abyss for 1,000 years because he has more work to perform. Let's continue in verse 4. And I saw a throne, and they sat on them. The judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Would you underline first resurrection, please? Over such a second death, another underlined one, second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years mentioned here from the verse 1 through the verse 6, or 7, for 6 times. 1,000 years we know it as millennium. However, the millennium word coming from the 2 Latin words. First word is milli, M-I-L-L-I, means 1,000. And the next word, annum, A-N-N-U-M, which we get the word annual, yearly, it means year. So you combine together 1,000 years. What is this about the 1,000 years? Christ's kingdom on earth, Christ is completely in charge of everything, and there's no opposition against Christ. He is the one who has a complete charge, and there's a complete peace for 1,000 years. All the nations in the world will obey him and enjoy the blessing and prosperity that promised by the Holy Spirit and through the prophets. Who will be on this earth? Let's make a few terms clear. Number one, we the saint, a living saint, let's say rapture happened right now, and some of you will be left behind because if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, moment you're here and moment, next moment, you will not hear that broken English guy in the front, and then a lot of you will be gone, and you're going to be left behind. So we are the living one, living saint who will be raptured. And this old-time saint who are already dead and they are in the presence of God in heaven. And those who are already, after the New Testament, after the Jesus' death, and they died, and from the, 33 AD until now, even the person who died yesterday or even 1 minute before. If they are born again Christian, they are in heaven. And from this moment, if the rapture happens for 7 years, there will be a time who will left behind, yet they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they get martyred, they will go to heaven. You with me so far? And there will be a people who have not survived through the tribulation, yet they have not received the mark of beast. For 7 years, somehow, they survived. Because they have not received the mark of beast, but because of that, they will be with God. But in person, in flesh. All of us who died or raptured will not have a physical body. We will have a glorified body. That means, see, I cannot go through this pulpit. However, when we receive glorified body, just like Jesus walked through the tomb, remember that stone was not rolled away for Jesus to come out. Stone was rolled away for the people, his disciples, to go in to see the witness. If I have a glorified body, I will walk through this pulpit because my body system will not be the same as now. And your body will be the same way. However, those people survive through tribulation without mark of beast on their hands or forehead will have a physical body and they will populate this earth. They will have a family and they will multiply this earth. And they are the ones who survive. During the millennium time, Israel will be the superpower. Why? Because Jesus Christ will reign from Israel. Second thing I find is that during the millennium, citizens of the earth will acknowledge and submit to Jesus Christ, the government of Jesus Christ. There won't be atheists. There won't be ACLU attorneys. There won't be no liberal commie pinkos. So we all be happy. That itself is a paradise, don't you think? During the millennium, there will be no more wars. There will be no more conflict. There will be no more fightings. Yes, we still have those people that who has a physical body will have their sinful nature, but they will everything will be judged complete with a complete justice by Jesus Christ, so there won't be a problem. During the millennium, the way animals relate to each other and to human will be different. According to the book of Isaiah, we find a little child be able to lead the wolf and the young lions. And the cobra and the viper will not have the venoms. So the child can stick their hands in the snake's mouth and without any problem. Also, that means that it's going to be turned into more like an animal not eating another animal. Then I do have one problem. That means all the human being will end up eating vegetable. I don't think there will be any more prime rib, T-bone steak. So my recommendation, eat now, guys. You might wonder what this first resurrection I asked you on the line. Does it mean what about those people who had a resurrection body, a resurrection from the death? Isn't that a first resurrection? What about Jesus Christ's resurrection according to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians mentioned as the first fruit? Isn't there a first resurrection? You're right. Remember, this is written by Apostle John, who is Eastern, Middle Eastern. To them, timing is not very important. What he meant is everything. There is no one set time. It's not a single point in time. It's spread out all over. Anyone who resurrected after Jesus Christ because of him will be considered as the first resurrection. Now, I asked you to underline first death and second death. First death is a physical death. If the Lord chooses to tarry, if the rapture doesn't happen next 100 years, I can pretty much guarantee that just about everybody in this place will die. Do you agree? Yeah. So if the Lord tarries another 100 years in our next generation or generation after that, we'll take over. That would be the first death. Second death, first death is a physical. Second death is eternal. It's a spiritual death. Are we going to have that? Those who are born again Christian will not face second death. Praise God that we won't do that because His grace. Through the church history, there's a lot of talk about this idea of millennium. Tragically, the church tend to embrace the wrong doctrines often. Let me put it this way. Early church until Augustine in the Rome area, that time era, just about everybody in the church believed there's a literal millennium, literal reign by the Jesus Christ. However, around the 8-300, Tychonius, who came up with this dumb idea called a millennium. The millennium, spell it, and with the A in the front. When you put the A, it's kind of negative in Greek word. So a millennium says that there's no millennium. This is the millennium now. And the reign of Jesus Christ is not literal physical reign, but it is spiritual reign. Problem with that theory is not jiving with the Word of God. From that, and a lot of people followed, especially adopted by the Augustine, and the Roman Catholic also adopted it. And the Reformation theologists adopted, and a lot of Calvinism people adopted it. Growing out of this amillennialism, and they came up with another theology called postmillennialism. Are you with me so far? Did I lose you? If I lost you, I'll go back and explain from the beginning. Do you want me to do that? No. Let's move on, right? What they're saying is post-millennium is they're saying that Jesus will not come back until millennium is over. And now is the millennium, and when that millennium, 1,000 years is over, then Jesus will come. What are they missing? Rapture. What are they missing? Second coming of Jesus Christ. They are ignoring two most important aspects of the eschatology, which means end time prophecy. So they are not jiving with the Word of God again. So what are we believing? We believe pre-millennialism. Before the millennium, Jesus will come back as the second coming of Jesus Christ. Rapture will happen before the tribulation, and then after the tribulation, Jesus will coming back, and we will have 1,000 years, and God will judge the rest of the people. That's the sequence. You might say, I don't agree. That's fine. It's okay for you to be wrong. You come around. Now, we have another problem. Known as preterist, P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T, or preterism, this is another thing that happened. It's old but yet ongoing theology. This is something we have to notice. It's a word coming from the Latin word. It's a past tense. Theologically, it is referred to the belief that the book of Revelation is already being fulfilled. And they also believe that Christ's reign is allegorically, I cannot speak word. Allegorically, had to be interpreted. And this Christ coming happened already in AD 70. What is the AD 70? AD 68, Roman Emperor Nero died. That was the end of a tribulation. That's what they're saying. Am I making sense to you now? So they're insisting this. Guess who jumped on this theology? How many of you guys know Hank Hanegraaff? Hank Hanegraaff? He's a well-known apologist. He's a well-known for his program called Bible Answer Man. However, he's been insisting this post-millennialism and preterism all together. He said millennium already happened before AD 70. If that's the case, where does Jesus fall in? This happened in the, during the millennium time when he was born and died during that time. Doesn't make any sense. I'm not an intelligent person, but to me, their idea does not make sense. Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff says this, and he's publicly criticizing the churches that interpreting the Word of God, especially the Book of Revelation, as a foolish people. Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, made himself and appointed himself as a watchdog of, against false doctrine in Christianity. In my opinion, with the rest of Calvary Chapel pastors, in our opinion, he is falling into the category of false doctrine. To make my position firm, I've just pulled Hank Hanegraaff's books from our Calvary Chapel bookstore. We will not carry his book. So if you do have a Hanegraaff books, that's up to you. If you choose to follow the post-millennialism and preterism, that's up to you. I can tell you where I'm standing for this premillennialism and why the postmillennialism and preterism is wrong. And I just did. And if you have a question about that, you can get on our website, read the sermon notes from our sermon website. Let's go to the verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, underline that please, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose numbers is as the sand of the seas. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saint and the beloved city. And the fire came down from the heaven, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Good riddance. And brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night. Underline the world where the beast and the false prophets are. Are is very important. Not war, are. And the tormented by the day and night forever and ever. Who will Satan try to deceive? Remember, I just said there will be a lot of people surviving and they will multiply the earth with their families. Let me put it this way. These people still have a sinful nature, as I said, and they did not have a choice to choose bad. Why? Because they did not see any bad. Their evil is in the bottomless pit. So there is no Satan. That means there is no bad things going on. No crime, no atheist, as I said, and no nothing. Everything is good, perfect environment. So these people did not have a chance to see the bad and has a chance to choose bad things. When the Satan was released, these people have once and for all in their lifetime chance to choose bad or God. Guess what they choose? A lot of people will choose bad things. That brings me to another thought. You know, a lot of in human history, man wants to blame their sinful condition to environment or the whatever the family history. You know what was the biggest excuse and first excuse of mankind? What Adam said. She made me do it. So that's when the guys, the husbands said, well, you made me do it. And that's the oldest excuse. That's the oldest lie. No, second oldest lie. The first one is from the devil himself. There's no such a thing as somebody made us to do it. We always choose. Okay? Once and for all, ladies and gentlemen, take a responsibility for what you say, what you do. Stop pointing finger at somebody else. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you choose to say is yours. Out of abundance of heart and mouth speak the word Jesus said. If we say something wrong, then because we mean it. If we do something wrong, because we mean it. Because we have a sinful nature. These people had a perfect environment. No evil existed. However, they chose to sin. When the sin, the evil showed up. When they saw the good and bad, they chose evil. I'm blown away why these people would choose Satan when the God did everything perfect for them. Gave them prosperity and peace and perfection. However, I have to stop thinking bad against these people. Let's think about us, okay? How many times God extends His mercy? Every day? Can I say every day? Because the Word of God says His mercy renews every morning. How many times He extends His grace to us? If you say that you don't feel the love of God, if you are born again Christian, you are lying. He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and die for me. If that is not love, I don't know what you call it. When we are bound to hell, He gave us salvation. He gave us grace. So we have a hope in the future. When I think about that kind of thing and how many times I reject God in my heart, how many times I say no to Him when He asks me to pray to Him, how many times I say no to Him when He said, read my word. So what am I different than them? What are you different than them? If we were born in that era, it might do the same thing. Let me put it this way. My wife, my beautiful wife, Karen, over there. And let's say I'm the only man in the world. And she had to marry. Duh, that's a whole lot of choice, right? That's not much of a choice. Or let's say I pull my Glock 27, 40 caliber, putting it on the head. You marry me. By sheer fear, she will marry me, even though she doesn't want to see me in the sight. That's not much of a choice. That's not much of a freedom to choose. God gave these people complete freedom to choose, good or evil. And they chose evil. Let's continue in by the way, I asked you on the line, Gog, Magog. How many of you guys heard this word, Gog, Magog, and you have no idea what they're talking about? Me neither. Well, let's find out. Gog, Magog is known from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, known as Northern Kingdom. There's a lot of story about the Northern Kingdom. Is that the Russia? Is that the Syrian army? It's because Syria is right above the Israel. Or is that Turkish people? I don't know. I can guess that, yeah, they are about right. However, Gog Magog is a rabbinical term. Any nations rebel against God, known as Gog and Magog. This is not the same people who are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, 39. So nations against God. However, when they rebel against God, God does not deal with them, and God does not fight, drag the fight like we are doing in Iraq. He just completely blew them away with His word. And He cast Satan and his followers into the hell right on the spot. Now, this is after 1,000 years. What do we find here? After 1,000 years, we have a white throne judgment. In verse 11, now and then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Born again Christian will never appear to this white throne judgment. Aren't you glad? This is not the time for the negotiating. This is not cutting the deal. You know, a lot of prosecutors have to cut the deal because there are so many inmates, so many prisoners in the county jail and state jail and federal prison. They have to let them, some of them go, whether they like it or not. They don't have to cut, God doesn't have to cut the deal. He just pretty much sentencing the condemned ones. In this case, it's awesome throne and the sinner already judged and Jesus, by Jesus. Let me put it this way. The reason why we won't be there because God, Jesus Christ dealt with our sin. So in God's eyes, we are pure, we are righteous, we are holy. That's why we don't have to stand in front of this white throne judgment. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So what kinds, that means are we going to be scot-free? No, we won't be scot-free. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, different, talks about the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, let me put it this way. Judgment seat of Christ will happen to us, the born-again Christian, and this will happen to us, and we will stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he will judge what we have done. Not just what we have done, also why we did that. The motive will be judged. I might be able to fool you, and you might be able to fool me, but our motive is revealed to God completely. So if I do anything for my own glory, guess what? In the presence of God, that will be gone. I think I mentioned this last week. If I can, I might be able to come to the presence of Jesus Christ with a truckload of the work. See, God, I did this, I did this, I did this. And as soon as it goes through, that's all I get? You see, yeah, that's all you get because you had the wrong motive. Or somebody else might come in. Just bagful of things in his bag. On his back, and he said, well, this is all I did, Lord. I didn't have a whole lot of time because I just got saved. And he goes through the fire. He come out with a bag full of reward. And I might say, what happened to him? Jesus would say, because he has the right motive. So if you serve God, do you do things in right motive? Or do you do things to get credit from people or the acknowledgement from the people? This brings to another application. Our elder Jack mentioned about the help in the ministry of Calvary Chapel of Sarita. Then, let me ask you this. If you've been coming here more than 2 months, is there any reason why you wouldn't serve God and serve the body of Jesus Christ? Am I getting too close to you? If you've been coming here more than 2 months and you're agreeing with what the Bible says, it would be best if you serve God. I'm not saying particularly Calvary Chapel of Sarita. If you are not serving God at all, then something is missing in your life. You know what that is? Being a servant to other people. You need to serve other people, serve God. You really don't understand the blessing of God until you start to serve. Let's continue in verse 12. I saw the dead and great, small and great, and standing before God, and a book was opened. Another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead was judged, and according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead and were in it, and dead and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, and each one according to his works. This is the second resurrection, folks. The first resurrection is for those who are born again Christian. second resurrection is for those who are dead during the at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They all got killed. For 1,000 years, they've been waiting in the cold place, Hades, their souls. Now they will receive the physical body they had, and they will come stand in the presence of God, and they will be judged. They will be condemned. This is the sentencing, not negotiating, not appealing. Jesus Christ is judge, and his father committed him to be a judge over everyone. All the lost sinners who rejected Jesus Christ all this time, now they have to face Jesus Christ once and for all. The white throne judgment, there will be nothing like our modern day courtroom. There will be a judge, but there won't be a jury. There will be prosecutor, but there won't be a defense attorney. And there will be sentencing, and there won't be appealing. Whoever was condemned because they reject Jesus Christ will face eternal death in lake of fire. The book mentioned, according to this, whatever that person has done, this book has a record in it. I said this probably one time. Hugh Hefner, he think he's the hottest guy because he has all these chicks, playmates. Guess what? If he keeps it up, he's going to be the still hottest guy in hell, literally. Don't envy of any of those people because you will have eternal life if you are born again Christian. Verse 14, then the death and the Hades were cast into the lake of fire. There is a second death, and anyone not found in the land, written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is the witness to the righteous character of God. He must judge its sin. Also, hell is a witness to the man's responsibility. The fact that they reject God in conscience. From their heart, not because somebody made them to reject. They reject God. Whenever you hear this salvation message from my mouth or from somebody else, and you walk out the door without responding, you are responsible. Am I trying to scare you? Yes, I'm trying to scare you so you don't have to go to hell. I will do just about anything for you not to go to hell. Let's go to the chapter 3 of John. If you close your Bible, please open up. We are not done yet. Chapter 3, verse 18, please. He who believe in him, that is Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, and the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Jesus conquered death through his own resurrection, and the last echoes of sin are now eliminated. Death is the result of the sin, and it is gone. And the hate is the result of death, it is gone. Let's make one application. God gave us a complete freedom to follow him or reject him. Whichever choice we make, we are responsible. No one in human history can say he did not have a chance because God did not give him a chance. And God didn't tell him. Let's stand up and pray.